Good morning and welcome, South Carolina. From the Midlands to the Upstate, we are happy to have you join the Yard Pros Show this morning, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is an absolute delight to be here, is it not, Scott?
It is.
Man, that was a great strong intro, wasn't it?
It was.
I like that. Got me all excited. It is Saturday, December the 14th. Scott, now I got to say something. This is a very important day. This is a special shout-out. I'm not sure if she's tuned in. She probably is. But happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, she's listening.
Yeah, she probably is. So happy birthday, Mom. Yeah, she's actually coming up towards Greenville today. So
The big 45.
Yeah, that's it. No, she's 39, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what she's told me since I was like 10. Mom, how old are you, 39?
39.
Every year. Well, no, since I was like 15, she said 39. Every year. So, happy birthday, Mom. Be safe in your travels today, and we'll see you shortly for lunch, it sounds like. So, hey, I get a lunch out of the deal.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
I don't know. Where do you want to go?
I don't know.
So, and hey, by the way, Scott, thank you very much for the kind donation and getting the magnolia tree down to Clinton for the gardening club. They apparently had a very nice Arbor Day, planted a nice magnolia, it's a beautiful tree, at Witten Center there in Clinton. So really neat place, and I've done a lot of good work over the years there for our community and the community of South Carolina, and it's I appreciate you taking care of that. I think that speaks very highly of your store, your location, your staff, as well as Carolina Fresh Farms. Folks, as I said earlier, it is December the 14th. We are on the eve of the third Sunday of Advent. It's not bad outside. I didn't check the temperature this morning. It's chilly, but it's not bone-jarring cold like it was yesterday morning and the morning before. Yesterday was just raw, wasn't it?
That was horrible.
You know, rain all across the state's a good thing, but the year is quickly kind of sliding away, is it not?
It is.
Look at you checking that temp. Is that 48 degrees I see there? 48 degrees in the Upstate. Probably about the same in the Midlands and nice and wet. Scott, real quickly before we get in, because I think it is interesting to kind of give a climatological, you know, I don't want to say the D word because you'll start your drum roll a little early, you know, the drought update. What I would like to do is give the phone number out, you know.
Yeah.
Because it is very important that we have participation. We love all the listenership, but we really appreciate the participants out there, the ones who call in, the ones who text us. It's always great to hear from you. The number is 1-800-347-1063. That is 800-347-1063. And you can text us at 71307. As you know, let's just talk about this. Anything related to gardening or outdoors within your confines of your property.
Or anything outdoors.
Or anything outdoors. Maybe you like to hike and have seen some interesting native plants blooming. Not real sure, you know.
It's a possibility.
There's some neat things in the forest this time of year. Mm-hmm. You know, some things you can see because now that we've gone through our leaf drop, hopefully it's done. Hopefully it's done, our leaf drop. Now, if everyone could just get out there and clean up their leaves by Saturday of next week, that's our target date. You know that, right? Get everything cleaned up by Saturday of next week. Reason being, this week, you know, more than just sod at Carolina Fresh Farms, and I have to remind all of our listeners as well, we do have seven retail locations throughout the state, two in the Charleston area, one in Columbia, one in Aiken, one in Rock Hill, one in Duncan, and one in Anderson. So we had the state blanketed. But one of the things we sell, especially this time of the year that we really begin to see the sales increase, is mulch. Now, we sell sod products. We sell all the material that you need to maintain your landscape, whether it's your shrubbery or whatnot. Some of our locations, such as Scott and Anderson, you sell plants. But we also sell hardscapes, but we sell a lot of mulch product. A lot of mulch product. Now that leaf drop is gone, you still have time this week to give us a call, any of our retail locations, order some mulch product, whether it's double ground hardwood, whether it's long needle pine straw, but spruce up. If everybody would go out there and clean up their yards between now and Saturday of next week, a little hard to do today with it being wet, but if they get them cleaned up, just imagine how clean and glorious and beautiful all the landscapes would look come Christmas morning.
Christmas.
Fresh mulch, right? Get up, have that cup of coffee. Cut those outdoor lights on early in the morning. What you looking at?
Just looking at Christmas morning.
It's going to be kind of cool and wet, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I looked at that as well. So, Scott, without further ado, let's give them that weekly drought update. Here it comes, folks. As reported. Uh-oh, what did I do with it, Scott? I lost it. There it is. As reported, on December the 10th, this past Tuesday, it was released on Thursday. The great state of South Carolina, currently only 33.33% of our state is in some form of drought. Now, that drought area is still hanging around in the Midlands, still hanging out in the Midlands. The good thing is, Scott, good and bad. The good thing is we've reduced a couple of percentage points in drought, okay? So we're in better shape. The bad thing is D1 is the most, you know, the five levels, people to listen understand that D1, moderate drought, is unchanged. I was hoping we would see that go down where the majority of those that are experiencing drought would be D0, just abnormally dry. But we're still looking at about the same as when it comes to moderate drought. So hopefully this rain that a lot of the state has seen this week in the last few days will have an impact. I know yesterday in the upstate we had to have an inch or more.
Oh, yes.
And where I was traveling.
What day did they take that? Wednesday or Thursday?
That is taken on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
The readings. And released on 2 days later on Thursday. So they take all the readings on Tuesday, compile the information. So hopefully things will continue to get better. You know, the landscapes are really slowing down. Things are beginning to go dormant. You know, last week we had a lot of calls about pruning and things of that nature.
Well, we did.
And we're finally there. It's a good time of year to start making that game plan. You know, last week I was suggesting, not a lot of heavy pruning, but some light pruning, shaping up shrubbery, knock yourself out. A lot of your perennials right now, you know, you can start deadheading those back, cleaning those beds up, getting them all prepared for what's going to happen week after next. And don't forget, you still have time to get those mulch products and those hardscape products. I was on the phone with a good friend of mine this morning on the way here. His wife goes down the steps to have a back stoop, kind of a side yard for their dogs so they can let them out, keep them contained within a nice little picket fence in the side yard. And unfortunately, when she stepped on the dormant zoysia grass, with it being wet, feet went out from under. So now they're looking. And it put it in perspective. Hardscapes is not just about a big area. Oh, I want to do a grandiose fire pit. Oh, I want to do a nice patio. Yeah, we'd love to sell that. But let's not forget the small uses of hardscape. Because what could have prevented that is a small little stoop. Or not a stoop, but a small landing area. Mm-hmm. Now, that landing area could be something such as pavers. It could be, you know, solid surface all the way across, but well-drained. That's why we like pavers versus concrete. Because as we get rain, pavers, you know, they do make porous pavers for parking lots, things of that nature. But just the general nature of a paver, because you have that joint, although it's very small, but you have all these joints, typically you get some drainage through that. So a lot of the water, and you can slope it and whatnot, but pavers make a great landing area. But also in this situation where the grass comes up to that landing area, you could take one or two big pieces of flagstone, natural stone. So the point is, Scott, I think sometimes we don't realize how much a lot of our listenership could benefit from understanding that, hey, we have, whether you want to do a 800-square-foot patio, a 200-square-foot patio, you want a grandiose fire pit, or you want a small fire pit, if you just want to buy three stepping stones, natural stone flagstones from us, we sell that by the pound. You can come out and visit us during the week. Very simple to find at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. Scott, before we get to the text, while we're waiting on some phone lines to come in. I'm sure we'll get some phone calls, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 1-800-347-1063. We would love to hear from you. While we do that, right before we go to the text, I think we had one come in. I want to keep with our Christmas tradition.
So which one?
Which is each Saturday in Advent, we talk about a different plant that has become part of our Christmas traditions. This week's plant's very interesting. It's one I've always enjoyed. You mentioned it this morning in the parking lot. You were trying to, Scott tries to guess every week, by the way, what plant we're doing. Some people think it's a parasite. It's not truly a parasite. It's hemiparasitic, meaning it is partial parasitic. Reason being, this plant produces chlorophyll. Okay, so it photosynthesizes, but most of its water and nutrients, it gets a little bit out of that photosynthesis, but most of it comes from attaching itself to a host plant.
Host.
And in essence, sucking the life out of that host plant, if it gets to a point where there's a lot of it in there. And it is the good old mistletoe.
I was right.
Yeah, it was your second guess, though.
Well, I didn't know the first one.
Yeah, you didn't.
No.
Yeah, that's an old one. We'll keep that in our pocket. We may need it, you know. But the mistletoe. Now, mistletoe, really, if you go back and look, there's one native to the southeastern, or not southeastern, there's one native to the eastern seaboard of the United States, eastern U.S., from Canada all the way down to Florida. That's the one we see growing in the oak trees this time of year. And the reason I say it's one of my favorites as a kid, because we'd always go out to my grandfather's piece of property or find mistletoe in an oak tree.
Climb the trees.
No. Take a .22 rifle and try to shoot it down. You can't climb a 100-foot oak.
You're a Boy Scout.
Yeah, no, we don't climb trees. But what's interesting about this plant, it actually, if you go back and look, I mean, it goes back to, like, Druid times. It goes back to the first, you know, 1 A.D., they had this thought that because it would put on berries and bloom in the winter, that it was a sign of fertility and life to come. We see this, I think it was probably, if I remember correctly, probably in like the 16th, 17th century where you begin to see it kind of creep in, maybe even 18th century before it crept in to what we would call today as a Christmas tradition. And it came out of Europe where the guys that owned owned the property, owned the house, they had servants and whatnot, where they would hang it in there with the berries, as the legend goes. And all of the servants, if he was lucky enough, he would catch a servant and steal a kiss underneath the mistletoe. And then the servants got wise, Scott.
Smart.
No, they got wise and said at one point in the history in Europe with mistletoe was like every time that the man would steal a kiss, they would get to take a berry off of the mistletoe, the ball that was hanging. And when all the berries are gone, he can no longer steal a kiss. Right? So here's the thing. If you're going to put mistletoe in the house, get all the berries you can get if you want to steal a lot of kisses, right? Now, some people are going, well, but that mistletoe may be poisonous. Yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of plants are toxic. But interesting enough, I went back and did a little bit of research to poison control, and of all the data I saw and from what I was reading and what I saw, it doesn't look like any deaths have been contributed to mistletoe.
They used to use it to treat seizures, I saw.
Well, there's some medicinal uses to mistletoe. It's being researched now as an anti-cancer drug in Europe, not here. You know, the FDA hasn't done that. There are supplements you can buy. Mistletoe. But here's the really interesting thing. It's the kissing ball. We hear about all these good benefits coming out of it from medicinal purposes, used back then for different medicinal purposes. Here's the really interesting thing. You know how it spread. And this is where the name comes from. It spread by birds eating the seeds and then birds poop. So if you go back and look at the origin of the name, it means poop tan, because some of the mistletoe in Europe has this tannish color. But I think it's kind of ironic, you know. But this week, it's about mistletoe. Don't worry, you know, it's something that can affect a tree in a really, really bad way if it gets out of control, but it takes a lot of mistletoe to kill a tree. And if you try to eradicate it, the best way is to cut it out, but you've got to cut a large section of that tree out because those roots go down through that cambium layer. So you got to cut that whole section out if you get to that point. If not, it's just going to come back. But start looking around, look up, the leaves are gone, you'll see some mistletoe around, and hopefully you know a little bit more about mistletoe. Scott, I digress. So let's go to the phone lines. We have Dan in, it doesn't say where Dan's from, but that's fine. We'll work with it. Good morning, Dan, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Doing How well. About yourself?
I'm in Columbia, and my question was, I have a couple pear trees and a couple plum trees in the yard. When's a good time for me to fertilize, and is 10-10-10 adequate?
You know, now's a good time.
That's great.
Trees really, a lot of people forget about them, Dan. Trees should be really fertilized twice a year. If you're planting new trees or they're struggling because of drought in the summer, if you want to fertilize them, we recommend trees and all shrubbery be fertilized twice a year, regardless of the variety. Now is a great time. Probably it would have been best if it were done a month ago, but we're still acceptable. Soil temperatures are still warm enough. Tree roots are still active, believe it or not. Even though they may have lost their leaves, I would fertilize them now. Now, as regards of is the 10-10-10 okay? I mean, it's okay. The thing you have to remember with the 10-10-10, typically that has zero slow release. And you see now that we're into our wet season, we put it in, a lot of that fertilizer is going to flush through. And if you do it with 10-10-10 now, we need to definitely do it again in the spring. Sometimes people will get somewhat lazy, do it once a year. And I'm okay with that because they're using a high component of slow release within that fertilizer. But with quick release fertilizer, with the amount of rain we're getting, 3-4 weeks from now, you go out and fertilize it, that fertilizer is going to be gone. So the plant can get some food now, but it's not going to have any come spring in the year unless you give it more food. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Now, what my technique is I have a spike. I put go to the outside of the tree branches, and I put several holes and fill the holes up with fertilizer. Is that?
Yes. Go to the what we call the drip edge and dig some holes. Try to get them, depending on the size of the tree, I would get at least 6 inches, if not 8, 10, 12 inches deep. A good way of doing this is to get one of those augers that you can put onto an electric or a cordless drill, the plant bulbs, a bulb planter, or a larger auger bit, and just go straight into the ground. It doesn't have to be huge, a couple inches, anywhere from an inch to 3 inches, I think will be sufficient. Fill that hole about half full of fertilizer, kick some dirt back in it, pack it in, and go about your merry way.
Well, good. I'll take your advice, and I appreciate your time, and I hope you guys and all the listeners have a good holiday.
You do the same. You do the same, Dan. Merry Christmas to you.
All right, stay out of trouble.
Good luck with that. Stay out of trouble. Trouble is my middle name, right, Scott? Scott, we're going to go to Harriet. She has a question about pre-emergent. Good morning, Harriet, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I got a quick question. I missed, I think I may be too late. I think I'm supposed to do 2505. In December on my fescue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Am I too late? I'm starting to see some winter weeds pop up. I guess that's what it is. But am I too late to get that down?
Not the 2505, because it's just a good straight fertilizer to Harriet. And the reason we do that, it's on a fescue lawn. We do that so that we can really push the fescue while the soil temperatures are still warm enough that it can utilize the fertilizer. And if we can get a lot of that good green color, get the plant very healthy before we get into January, February, you will retain better color through the depths of winter for us. Now, I know some folks that moved down and weren't born and raised in this state just are chuckling because they're going the depths of winter right in South Carolina. But our soil temperatures, especially in the upstate, will drop typically come January to a point where even our cool season grasses just aren't growing and they're not going to be able to use fertilizer. It's going to be hard to get them to green up, and you're going to have this kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of a pukey color Right now, Scott just pulled up the soil temperature map, and in the upstate of South Carolina, currently it's 45, Scott. Mm-hmm. That rain elevated a little bit.
23, 24 hours.
The 24-hour average was 23. What's the five-day?
44.
So we're in the low 40s now with soil temperatures. We still have a little bit of time for that fescue lawn to utilize that nitrogen and get some good green color. Now, in regards to your broadleaf weeds here, you can do a little bit of post-emergent spraying right now. The biggest thing is identifying 100% what those weeds are so that you're choosing the right post-emergent. And that's something okay. You can go out and spot spray with. Simple way to identify those weeds, you can try yourself on the internet. It's very confusing, hence why we enjoy the show. It gives you more local knowledge. A good way to do that is email one of the stores. You know the drill here, but for those who don't,
right. Visit
CarolinaFreshFarms.com. You'll find a store near you with an email link. Take some pictures if you're having a hard time identifying. And when you take these pictures here, this is public service announcement for everyone listening. Take more than one, and take one from a little bit further, more of a landscape perspective, so we can see the amount of weeds you have in the lawn. And two, take a couple that are close up, but throw your set of keys down beside them so that we can see the size. Does that make sense?
Yep, got it.
All right.
Okay. Real quick, is it too late to use Roundup on weeds in mulch beds?
No. It is going to be a little bit slower because of the cooler temps, but it will still work. All right. Harry, have a great day. Welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts this morning, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it's a delight to be here. It is Saturday, December the 10th. It is the eve of the third Sunday of Advent.
14th.
Oh, 14th. Did I say 10th? Oh, I had the 10th in mind because of the drought report.
No, folks, going backwards.
If you want to find us during the week, it's very simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. Scott, I do want to say this because I'm not going to say that we've got a newbie on the board that may have cut us off a little bit early, and we got to hear a lot of the Marshall Tucker Band, which is great, you know, great group, local group, because I just came back into the studio and decided to repeatedly push the off button on my mic, and I'm like, man, he just screwed up the mics too. And, Tim, it was actually my fault, so you know, when you hit the off button, Scott, it
You're
doesn't
human,
work real
man.
Well.
Everybody's
yeah,
human.
Exactly. So, Tim, we'll give you a little shout out and say thank you for running the board this morning. So, and congratulations on your recent graduation. So, always good to see the youngins get involved, right?
Youngins.
See, I can say that.
You can. I mean, you're 60.
No, not 60.
61, 62.
No. 64 in reverse.
I'm glad, because if you were 61, 62, that'd make me...
Hey, but I am. I will say this. I'm younger than someone else in my household for about three more days, and then we'll be the same age. The kids don't believe that. They think that, you know, I'm much older than Mom, but, you know, hey, that's okay. I actually have a... Mom, happy birthday, but I have a birthday coming up. Tuesday.
That's right.
And Graham, the middle child, our son, his birthday is Wednesday, the 18th. I'm telling you, man, we just get hammered with birthdays a week before Christmas.
I remember you saying that last year.
Oh. But, you know, when I was young, it was great because you just play both sides and, you know.
Like,
oh, but I really want this. And
January.
Really?
The first week of January, yeah.
But see, you know, it was always, oh, Mom and Dad, I really want this. Well, it's too expensive. Well, just call it Christmas, too. But I knew that they wouldn't allow me to just Christmas morning watch my sister open presents and not give me something, too. So it's almost like I could double dip. But I kind of had to, because you only get gifts one time a year when your birthday's that close.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, our son being born on the 18th, my birthday apparently just ceased to exist the day he was born. So I tell you, man, I've had all kind of great, as an adult, I've had like all kind of great Thomas the Train birthday party. I mean, we just go through it. SpongeBob, SquarePants, you name it. Have all kind of neat. Who knows what, well, I don't know. He's getting older. Now he's a agronomy student. Mm-hmm. He wants adult toys now.
Oh, yes, he does.
you know.
But I like his adult toys.
Hey, Dad, I'm into fly fishing. Hey, Dad, I'm into shooting. Can you pick a hobby that's a little less expensive? And then he looks at me and he's like, no, same hobbies you have. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
Touche.
Yeah, exactly. So, Scott, we digress. Let's get back to it. We have someone that, first half of the show, sorry we didn't get to it, sent us a text. And before we get to that, let's remind folks, you can text us at 71307 this morning, at 71307. And you certainly can call us. The phone lines are open. We would love to hear from you at 1-800-347-1063. So, Scott, I got this text question in. It says, two-part question. I plan on in the spring to regrade my yard. Would I have a problem seeding in the beginning of spring for grass? Recommendation for seeds. I want to level it with dirt from the grading, but it's about 2 to 3 feet lower on one side, and it's around a big oak tree. So there's a big oak tree. To me, this is a fantastic question. There are a lot of parts here. Because apparently it's Bah Humbug Saturday and the phone lines aren't lit up like a Christmas tree at 1-800-347-1063. Was that a subtle hint that you should give us a call?
Please call.
Yeah. But no, this is a great question because there's a lot of things to talk about. So basically, we have a customer here, a potential customer, who wants to regrade and reseed their yard. But one of the dilemmas they have this large oak tree and one side of it's eroded where they're going to have to bring in 2 to 3 foot of soil to kind of level the yard out. Now, what we need to make certain of, as you stand back and look at a tree, and especially oak trees, maybe not so prominent on a pine tree, but if we stand back and look at an oak tree, we see what we call the trunk flare at the bottom of the tree. So, yeah, we know a trunk of a tree is bigger, but we see this actual flare where it goes into the soil, right? Mm-hmm. We do not want to cover the flare. Covering the flare is not healthy for the tree. You will eventually suffocate and kill the tree, right? So as you regrade that, it's certainly acceptable. Now, be careful. If you're bringing in that much soil, be careful bringing in just like a pure, clean topsoil. You probably need some field dirt, some clean field dirt, something that's native that matches your existing soil profile. Because the last thing we want to do is create this pocket of a different profile mix, soil mix, within your lawn. Because that grass is going to grow differently. It's going to react different to fertilizer. It's going to react different to water, okay? The other thing, being around a big oak tree, you may want to find a way that you can landscape around that tree to get closer to the drip edge to plant grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that will eliminate a lot of this headache of the tree because these oak trees, man, it's amazing how much water they can transpire in a day when we haven't had rain in 2 weeks and they can transpire the amount of water that they transpire, you know, up to 100 gallons a day. Where do they get that water? A little bit from the atmosphere, but where's most of it come from? Soil. So we hadn't had rain in 2 weeks. I'm painting a picture here, not a really pretty picture. Hadn't had rain in 2 weeks, but yet that oak tree is going to figure out how to squeeze 100 gallons out of that dry soil. Who's going to win, grass or oak tree?
No, the tree.
The tree's going to win every time. So try to move the grassed area a little bit further away from the tree. Okay? Try to get out to the drip edge if you can, through the drip line of the tree. The drip line being, imagine an umbrella that the tree canopy is an umbrella. Where would the water shed off? Okay? That's your drip line. Try to move it out a little bit if you can, if at all possible. As far as seeding in the spring, you can seed with the Carolina Blue 2 fescue mix because I don't know where this text came from. You know, if you're in the Midlands, you're not going to get fescue to grow. But seeding, and you're going to have more sunlight. But under an oak tree, without having the ability to ask more questions, I would think it would have to be, it's a 41, a 40. It's an Atlanta prefix or area code. But the seeding, you know, yeah, you can be somewhat successful seeding fescue in the spring, but you got to be careful too. Because you really don't have time to establish a really deep root system.
Jump on it early.
Before drought. So you need to get it on early. I'm talking like first week of March, second week of March. As soon as that soil temperature, as soon as we get back up and we moderate and we're about 58, 59 degrees consistent soil temperature in the spring of the year, look at your soil temperatures. Get the fescue out. Now, if this situation forgot to go warm season seed, we want the soil temperatures to get closer to 70, okay, before we think about seeding. So Hopefully that answered that text question. Scott, we're going to go to the phone lines. We have Kevin in Florence. I don't know if we ever had a caller from Florence.
First.
Hello, Kevin, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. I love listening to y'all. I work in Columbia area every other Saturday. I get the chance to listen to y'all. Very, very informative. So I want to go ahead and just get that out of the way and tell y'all thank y'all.
You're quite welcome.
All right. I got, if you can oblige me, I got just three questions I can get out. One, is it too late for a pre-emergent?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, it pains me to say that, but I will say this. It may be worthwhile putting a little bit. What kind of lawn do you have, Kevin?
I have a centipede. It's got a little bit of carpet grass in it and a little bit of Bermuda.
Okay.
But it's mostly centipedes.
I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, if you don't mind spending the money, a little bit of pre-emergent may help you out because not every winter wheat is germinated at this point. So you can stop that second flush, especially in that Columbia market. We'll get that second flush kind of January, February. So it may be worthwhile putting a little bit of pre-emergent out.
Okay. Second question. I've planted some, what are they, the ones that took the place of Leland Pines, the Better Boy? Is it Better Boy or Green Giant?
Green Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it possible that they get – The water table where I planted them is kind of high, which I would imagine would be good, but is there a point that it could be bad that could wash out nutrients?
Yeah, you're pretty sandy soil, right?
Yes. Yeah, I live in a low area between two swamps, so it's a little low area. Water table's kind of high, but the soil is very rich.
Yeah, very rich. But it's rich, but at the same token, it's also somewhat well-drained. And it is a sand base, but it does have high organics. And we have to remember this. When we talk about soil profiles and talk about nutrient-holding capabilities, organics are going to help hold more nutrient versus straight sand profile. But at the same token, sometimes these organics can tightly bind themselves to some of our nutrients, and they don't release like we would based on the soil pH. So what I would suggest, if you haven't done it, and you can run by, you know, Saturday morning's a store there in Columbia. You're driving I-20, I'm sure, from Florence to Columbia.
Yes.
The store right there at Clemson, off of Clemson Road.
Yes, sir.
You can run some soil samples by of just that bed. We don't charge a penny. I would get them tested, and I think we definitely need to test your pH, too, because where you are, we may find that's a little more alkaline, and that could be binding up some of your nutrients in that soil.
Okay, because I planted, like, I think 35 of those, and I've had some die off, so I don't know if it's just nature of, you know, just transition. You're going to lose some, but I don't want to put any more money in if I'm going to lose any more, if I can prevent it.
Yeah, and you may be losing some too, just between the heat and the drought and whatnot, especially in the summer. This summer, y'all were extremely dry in that county. I know that. I was traveling through there a lot for some golf renovation greens work, and was that way a good bit this summer, and it was extremely, extremely still kind of dry down there. So you may be losing some due to drought, but one thing I would suggest to you right now, we're in a better growing situation for those plants because it's cooled down, we're getting some rain, you need to get them fertilized.
Yes, yes.
You need to get a bag. You know, I suggest the triple 14 Wood Ace. I'm a little partial to it for two reasons. One, we sell it. Two, I know it's a great product.
Okay, that's triple 14. Okay.
Yep.
Now, the magic question, is it too late to plant winter rye out in my yard?
You can get it to grow this time of year, especially where you are. I mean, your soil temps are still up probably close to 50. The ryegrass is going to germinate. It's just going to be a little bit slower, but you could get it to grow.
Okay. I know I should have had it out a month ago. But,
well, 2 to 3 months ago, but that's okay.
Too late or not. 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, but that's okay. I know, but that's the thing with that. You know, next year, if you want to win a ride, I would suggest you do it sometime maybe mid to late September.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, listen, we appreciate you tuning in, and most importantly, we appreciate you being a participant today, and have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Scott, you know, I can't say that enough. The one text we got in for this half of the show, well, the two, actually, the tree and the planting of seed or whatnot is in Marietta, so fescue is probably the way that gentleman or lady's going to go. And secondly, we got a nice text to say Merry Christmas. All right, so we're not going to delay. We're going to Sam in Taylor's has a question, looks like maybe, let's see, something about a ground cover or ground cavity. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Hope y'all are doing well. I'm just doing some errands, and I'm listening to the show, and I wanted to bounce this off of you. So I noticed that about 6-7 feet off of the foundation of my house, I saw what looked to be a wet spot, and I thought, well, maybe I got a line that's ruptured or something like this, and it's causing a little sink. So I took a shovel and dug it out and went past what I thought was the leaking pipe, and it wasn't leaking. But what I discovered was there's actually a cavity in my yard. And I said, okay, I wonder how deep this thing is. And so I dug it out maybe about a foot or so and actually took a tape measure. And I discovered by estimation, I can't say for sure, I didn't put a camera or anything in there, there might be maybe a 6 to 8 foot cubic cavity in my lawn. And I don't know where it came from, and I've been in the house 19 years.
Okay.
And there is approximately about maybe 14, 18 inches worth of soil that would be, I guess, the ceiling to the cavity.
Yep.
And, you know, I run my lawnmower over it regularly, and obviously I've never fallen in. But I'm just kind of concerned because that's about 6 feet off the front of my house, and then about 12 feet, well, probably 15 feet off the front of the house is a huge oak that's kind of center mass of the house. But I'm just wondering, A, where does this cavity come from? And then B, how do I mitigate that? Because I'm considering doing some foundation remediation, but then I'm also thinking, well, have I got bigger issues? So can you talk to that a little bit?
And, I mean, and here's the thing I would say that kind of comes to my mind. Scott's over here just kind of nodding his head, and then he kind of shakes his head, then he shrugs his shoulders like, I don't know, and I'm kind of the same way. But I will say this. I think there's a couple things that possibly could be going on. Number one, it kind of brings to mind several years ago, if you go back and look at some of our past news in the upstate and you being in Taylor's, and you've been here 19 years, you probably remember it. Limestone College had a huge issue with a massive sinkhole opening up on their campus. A few years ago, or maybe it was last year, they had one in Florida that I think, you know, took out a car.
Yeah. They have a lot.
Now, a lot of times when that happens, it's because, like limestone, doing some work up there with the college over the years, I know that, you know, they were quarrying that pit for a number of years, hence where the name comes from. Well, a lot of that water starts draining subsurfacely, and it opens up crevices and begins to run underneath. I don't know, you know, I live... And I have a Greer zip code not far from, you know, technically I'm closer to Taylor's than I am Greer, but I have a Greer zip code. Probably the same with you. I don't know if that's the case, but I will say this. I had a cavity or sinkhole in my front yard. And I finally repaired it. And the way I did it, and mine wasn't as big as yours, the way I did it is I dug it and exposed it and packed. Went into the back corner of the property, dug up some native soil, and I just started packing soil in it. I think where it comes from, because you said it's pretty close to the house, probably newer construction, or I say newer in the last 20, 25 years, one of two things, either construction debris, which I seriously doubt, but here's what I think it probably is, probably a stump or several stumps when they cleared that lot that very well could be where they buried the stumps. Because
they piled it up and it just has decayed away.
They dig a hole, pile it up, cap it with soil, and build your house and move along, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot cheaper to bury stumps on site than it is to haul them off. Or to hire somebody to grind them.
Especially if they were pines.
I think the best way you can correct this, and if it were me and I had a cavity that large, that close to my foundation of my house, I hate to say this, I would call somebody with an excavator or a backhoe, and I'd let them start digging. I think I would dig, expose that, and I would bring in native soil. You know, for us, it's red clay, and I would pack it in that hole pretty tight. That's what I would do. Because now we're talking with something that's beyond landscape that now potentially could affect
your foundation. But I'm with you. I would get a camera down there and check it out.
Yeah, you can go buy that. You can go buy cameras pretty inexpensively now at the big box or online. And
Who would? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I would do that. I would investigate it that way.
So, and then absolutely, one follow-up question, because it naturally comes, right? Without endorsing a particular company or anything like that, what type of company would handle that? Because I don't know if a landscaping company would do it, and I don't know if I want to get into a grading company per se. Who does that?
You know, one that comes top of my mind, Scott actually knows one that in the winter, he does a lot of golf course construction, and he's got the equipment to do it. Environmental Landscapes out of Greenwood, South Carolina. He runs all over multiple states, but Mike's just a great guy. But he's got the equipment to do it, and that's what you're going to have. And I don't even know.
Landscapes.
Yeah. And you can call the Anderson store, you know, Monday, and Scott can give you all that contact information. And I don't even know if I wouldn't go so far to at least make a phone call to a civil engineer or a site engineering company and just say, hey, I've got this issue. It's 7 foot from my foundation. What would you charge me to come out and give me – send an engineer. Say, what would it cost to get an engineer out here to give me a consult to see if this is going to affect long-term my foundation? I think I would. If it were that close to my foundation.
You think somebody like one of the foundation repair companies
possibly would
approach that?
Yeah, I think they probably would.
Okay. All right, guys. That's a solid answer, pardon the pun.
Sounds great.
All right, guys. See you on the radio.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
Scott, real quick, as we transition what may be our last caller, we'll get to Jerry. It says, good morning, y'all, and Merry Christmas. My fescue yard is beautiful shade of green, but I'm starting now to see some yellow patches. What should I do? Fertilization, and I can't rule this out without talking to him, but do not walk on your fescue lawn when it's frozen.
Please don't.
Because it will leave little yellow spots, okay? Believe it or not. When it's frozen, stay off of it. Don't walk on it. We're going to Jerry real quick and Pickens and kind of wrap up the show. We got about, I don't know, a couple minutes left. Good morning, Jerry, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning. I've got a question. I've got a large patch of liriope that has turned very, very yellow. Can I put some, you know, iron fertilizer or iron on that this time of year and to green that up, or what should I do? What do you suggest?
I would probably wait to spring with liriope at this point because I think part of the discoloration is coming from the old leaves, not necessarily from the cold weather, Jerry, but it's coming from the older, mature plant leaves beginning to slough off to make room for the new growth that comes out this spring.
To complicate that, I've got a large patch of liriope on each side of my driveway.
Okay.
And one side is really nice and green, and the other side is showing weakness, and that's the side that's yellow.
Okay.
And they're side by side.
So fertilization can help with that. Okay. Now, here's the other thing I would ask, too. Comparing them because they're side by side, but we have this driveway between them. Are we getting them fertilized, or are they getting the same amount of water and nutrient compared to each other? So are they both under irrigation, neither one of them under irrigation? But
just natural irrigation.
Okay. The other thing, look at your water or sunlight. Is one side a little bit shadier than the other? That could also play into it.
Well, that was the case until a year or so ago. And a year or two ago, there was a large oak tree on one side, the side that is green. And I've had that tree removed, and I've seen an improvement in other things growing on that side of the driveway. But this set of liriope on the side that's actually had the most sun for a long time is the side that's yellow.
That's yellowing out. And that could be the case because typically when we see liriope in shade, it kind of holds color better than we see it in full sun. Now, here's the other question. Have you fertilized either side in the last year or two?
No, I have not.
So fertilization, okay?
Which fertilizer and when?
I would use, we recommend, and it's kind of a ripoff of the old Osmocote product. It's a triple 14, has a lot of slow release, but it also has a micro element package. So it's designed for ornamental plants. It's not your triple 14 you go buy from the feed and seed store typically, okay?
Okay.
It's an ornamental plant fertilizer.
Okay.
And for us, it's under the trade name of Wood Ace, WOODACE. Triple 14 Wood Ace is what we call it.
Okay.
And I would probably do that. You could do it now, and I'd do it again in March.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll see if I can't find that product and give that a try.
Sounds great.
Okay, I appreciate it. Y'all have a very Merry Christmas and a
You do the same. Holiday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott, great calls today. Great show, I must say, wouldn't you say? Folks, you have been tuned in to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. It's very simple to find us during the week. www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all 7 retail locations in the great state of South Carolina, and even Scott's store email address, and Ryan and Duncan and Susie in Columbia, so you can harass them all during the week. Come out and see us. Scott, I think it's very fitting right here. We tell everyone, we hope you have a very, very merry Christmas season, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a happy week gardening.